Please join me in welcoming Dr. Burgess.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
I am just thrilled to be here, and I just thank you, Sister Grimes. Where'd she go? But I hang out over here in Franklin sometimes because I live in Franklin and I visit the congregations on every side of me on Sunday afternoon sometimes. It's really good to be with ladies and wonderful to be with you this morning. And I'm just so excited about it because I get to finish my talk that I started in April. I see the clock, it's 10:15, but I got a song, so that's going to be 10 minutes. And I want you to join me though in a song, and that's number, I wrote it on this paper on the notes page, and it was number 574. So I know that some of you know it, and I don't try to remember anything, I write them down. And then I sing off key, all those things. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Thank you, ma'ams. Okay. It tells me of can feel my deepest woe. When he sorrow bears apart that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. All right. That is one of my favorite songs. And ladies, you always need a song. Because sometimes you know, and I know you know, that all you can do is sing. And it makes a difference in your life when you have your song ready for that time. And you know that time is going to come. I learned a lot over my lifetime, and you heard what I get paid to do. But I have a wonderful husband, and I love him every day, and sometimes I think I just want to throw him in the trash and get him out. My mother-in-law told me that, and she is long gone with the Lord, and she passed away this spring, but I learned so much from her because I was a willing listener. And she would tell me things, and you go like, But she was a very, very wise woman, and I think I'd put her in that virtuous woman category because she was so wise, and she shared a lot of things with me, and she told me that when we first married. She said, Nama, now you know, now Jerome's not perfect. Well, it took me 20 years to figure out he wasn't perfect, and I wasn't either. Seriously. And I kept wondering, how come I always get angry? He never does. But my husband shares with me all the time, and whenever I said, well, can I? He said, yeah, you have. I'm thinking, I wish I could just share all the time. So I'm growing and sharing and those kinds of things, but he is a wonderful man, and I've been married to him 38 years, just how I got to 70. You know, y'all asking how many numbers you got. So this September, in a few days, we'll be married 38 years, and I'm really excited about that. There's nothing better than a good spouse, and learning how to love and forgive that spouse on a daily basis is critical to your success in marriage. And, you know, I was mad with him one day. Not really mad, but I was kind of bothered. And I said, but you knew. He said, well, I knew how you'd feel. I said, and you still did? He said, well, yeah, I figured you would. So, you know what I did yesterday morning? I called him. My husband travels a lot, so when you see me by myself, he's out of town somewhere. But I said, and I thought about, you know, I've been thinking about this topic since you told me what it was going to be. And I said, now, how can I make somebody else's day really good? What can I show in myself? And I always work on myself. You know, sometimes we're forced into that. Sometimes we get those lessons that you got to learn. So I thought, I said, I'm just going to ask him. So I talked to him yesterday morning. I said, what can I do for you today that will make your day so much better? He said, huh? I said, well, what can I do for you today that will make your day so much better? And he was like, well, I don't know. He said, I'm really doing well this morning. I said, good. He said, you don't have anything that I could do? And I was serious. You know, I was sincere about that. He said, well, you know, as long as you just keep loving me, I'll be all right. I thought, so try it at home. Try it at home. So, ladies, if you would please turn your Bibles to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. And these are my sunglasses. You know, I have adult children. You know, your children teach you a lot of things. And you know that scripture over here in the Proverbs that says, your children will rise up and call you blessed. My children said, Mom, we never had vegetables when we were growing up. And I said, well, yeah, but you didn't go hungry, did you? So my children are really nice, and I love them. But they, you know, they keep you on your knees just like your spouses and all your family. But anyway, when you go to Proverbs, Psalms 23, it gives you some lessons and some things. Because one of the things that I know about us is that we don't always embrace the scriptures as we need to. And it takes some lessons to learn about that too. Because, you know, I have worked in secular institutions and actually grew up at Syracuse University and spent most of my professional life there. And because it was secular, and most of you who work secular jobs, you can't just show up and talk about how good God is. So I learned to, you know, leave my life and my personal stuff and my everything at home and go to work. Well, one day I figured out this ain't working. So then, you know, when you learn how to combine all those things together, you know, and the Lord gets in you, your whole life changes. And I know that there are a lot of you who are lifelong members of the church, but is the church a lifelong member in you? And when it is, it shows, and you have a whole different attitude about a lot of things. Because the most important relationship that you can have is yours with Christ. Because he doesn't change, and I appreciate you saying that. He never changes, so you can always count on that love and count on his presence in everything that you do. And when you don't, you'll get a little lesson, and you know that you have to. But I learned to adopt. No, I actually memorized it as a child. You know, when there was prayer in the school, there were big posters on the wall with the 23rd Psalm and the Ten Commandments, and we had to memorize all that, and we had devotional. So I learned to take the 23rd Psalm is mine. Now, you may have your own favorite scriptures, but you know, I go a lot of places. I go without other people with me sometimes, but I know the Lord is always with me. And I knew, I'll tell you about that later, but first I want to start, the lesson about my shades. You know, I also learned from my children that Christians and parents are very judgmental. We have opinions about everything, you know. So when I start now, my daughter says, Mommy, put your shades on. I'm thinking, but don't you think, Mommy, put your shades on. So I keep my shades handy all the time. So when I get ready to say, don't you think her dress is too, Mommy, put your shades on. So I keep my shades with me when I get ready to open my mouth, and I shouldn't, because she said, Mommy, that is none of your business. You don't have anything to do with those people. I said, but I could just help. Mommy, Put your shades on. So keep your shades handy, ladies. So anytime you get ready to get in somebody else's business, put your shades on your eyes and pay attention to you. So I've learned too that if you keep your shades on, it's cooler outside. It just feels cooler when the sun is really hot. But anyway, the 23rd Psalm says, oh, okay, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's to me. He is my shepherd. Okay. I shall not, well, mine says, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Your soul needs to be refreshed on occasion, ladies. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. All those are my, okay? Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you get ready to become the woman that the Lord wants you to be, you're going to need some things to help you get there. Because a lot of times we say, well, you know, the sure is nice that she is, let's see what it says on the front. She is a woman of wisdom, honor, strength, rejoices, kindness, fears the Lord, noble, provider, industrious, blessed, and dignified. Now, those things just don't come overnight. So you have to figure out how you're going to get them if you want them. And they come if you pray for them, but you still have to know how to get them and what you need to do to get them. Those are things that are lifelong characteristics that you really want to embrace, because we are children of the Christ. Children of a king. I accept my princess status. I don't know about you, but it says we're children of the kings. I'm a princess. Okay? Now that does not exclude you from being one too, because you're a child of the king too. Understand what that means. It means a lot of power, a lot of wisdom, a lot of privileges that we get that other people don't have. And you have to know when to use it. Well, you don't walk around saying, I'm a princess. But what you do is you walk around with the most powerful being in your spirit, in your soul, so you get to do other things in his grace. People can see that in you. And you forget to use it. When we look around, we go, well, it's a good day. Well, I feel all right. Well, no. Princesses don't act like that, I don't think. Okay? So you have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do, and you need power to do it.
Right.
Understand, you're given that power. Use it.
Right.
So, you know, when I think about all the things that I have to do, it's like, and I hear things in my head, and I talk to myself to say, okay, Wendy, you know better than you need, you know. But I think about the power that I gain when I realize that I'm a Christian every day, all day, not just when I would leave my house and go to work and you stop. It's all day long, because people will be with you, and Satan is with those people all day long, and they come to get you. Because they don't like you for whatever reason other than, well, you don't act like them. You may not say bad words. You don't laugh at the nasty jokes. All those things. So you have to be ready all the time. So when you're not, you get weak, and Satan says, well, yeah, I know where your weak spots are. There are always weak spots in our lives, and we have to be conscious of it all the time, because he's just seeking whom he can devour. And the Lord is saying, what is wrong? Come on now. And you're like, well, Lord, you just melt. No. Mm-mm. When you think about what Shelley said, she says, if you got to it, he'll bring you through it. And you have to repeat that in your head, because we forget. We don't think about it, and we don't consciously think about our power. And I like power, because it's good for us, and it gives us the strength we need to do the things that we need to do. So, as you think about who you are and whose you are, you have to prepare to get to the next level. And that's the next level of being with Christ. Now, if you want to play tag, time alone with God. Now, I think about people who says, I need my coffee in the morning. I need God in the morning. So, I go out every day. Every day, ladies. Pick up your legs while you can. Stand up straight while you can. My mother is 78 years old, and she, you know, every now and then she goes like this. I said, Mom, stand up. You know, it hurts a little. Stand up while you can. You know, I know a lady, wonderful lady, who's almost been, you know, 90 degrees to the ground. I'm thinking, you better stand up while you can, and you better move your body while you can, okay? Because one day it's going to come to a point where you can't.
That's right.
And I see it all the time, and I'm thinking, okay, let me get moving. You know, I don't want to, you know. But know God so that he knows you. Now, when you know somebody, you got to spend a little time with them. You got to talk to them, listen to them, talk back, read what they say, what he says. You'll be all right if you do that. And it doesn't have to be one long passage that you can't get. You know, some of this stuff gets so convoluted, it's like, well, let me go back to verse 1. And let me go to this book that I can really understand. Find a passage that you can understand and read it. Go to the Bible classes, go to church, talk to other women. And other women need what you have to offer. On occasion, you need what they have to offer. I am so thrilled about a ladies' day this morning, because when we get together, the voices rise and raise, and the young people. You know, I'm always trying to recruit people, because I'm telling them, I said, in 10 years, I'm going to retire or less. And when I see college students, and I see them 3 times a year during the summer when they're getting ready to come, and I'm thinking, you know, half the auditorium wants to be doctors. And then the rest of them want to be music and whatever else we have. But I'm thinking, who's going to teach your kids? If some of y'all don't go to school and become professors, who's going to teach your kids? Who will teach your kids? Somebody has to do that. So I'm always recruiting on that frame, but I'm also recruiting young women who think about things. When you get ready to choose a mate, or when your mate chooses you, make sure he can handle a Proverbs 31 woman. All men cannot do that. And you notice a lot of lessons come through with the Proverbs 31 woman talking about a wife, and they go, well, I'm serving my husband. You are the woman that needs to develop so that you can handle a man who doesn't understand how to handle you. I'm serious about that, because there are some young men who are wet. They got wet when they were baptized. They did not become Christians, okay? And I know that there are some women who are single again who found that out the hard way. Witness that, okay? So make sure you know how to talk to the young man who's just kind of looking at you and, yeah, well, you know, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and looking straight at certain parts of your body. Understand that, because women are a gift. Nobody does what we do. Nobody. And all the things that you do are powerful things. They're good things. Teach your women. Teach your girls. Sometimes they listen. And then they said, Mama, sure wish I had listened to what you said. You know, you were right. You know? We're right most of the time. Sometimes we get it wrong. You go, okay, And then when you get ready to listen again, you'll see your life in a different way. When you look in that mirror, you look at it a different way. And I remember, you know, some years ago, and my jobs have been hard. Probably Lipscomb has been one of the best opportunities I've had, because I get to work with Christians every day. Christians are not perfect. Okay? So when you see that, you have to make sure that you conduct yourself in a way that the Lord is pleased with you. Because it's you. It's not your husband, your mama, your sisters. It's you. Okay? So when you think about looking in the mirror, there was a time in my life when I looked in the mirror and I smiled at myself. And I tell you that because it was so tough on my job, I didn't get any smiles. I said, well, I'll just give myself one. I did. So then when I centered myself before I left home, and after I collected the power that I had that I was entitled to use, I thought, okay, Lord, me and you. And people would say, well, who got your back? And I thought, nobody has my back. And I thought, I got the most powerful thing on the earth, in all the earth, at my back, kept covering me. And I'm thinking, and they said, is that a new dress? Mm-mm. Did you get your hair done? Mm-mm. I went and got her. I fell in love with myself again. Now, you know, when you're a little girl, you just love yourself and everybody just loves you and you're so cute and wonderful. And as we go through life and parenthood and grow up, we kind of forget all that stuff that we used to know about ourselves, and we stop taking care of ourselves. And you know, the thing about the Proverbs 31 woman is that she is selective. You know, it says she selects, and she buys the land. And I even read somewhere that said she selects the land, then she asks her husband about buying it. They ain't say nothing like that. It says she selects the land and she buys it. She sells her stuff. She saves her money. It ain't said nothing about asking her husband about what she can buy. It did not say that. I ain't read it like that. So, you know, when you need to know what the scriptures say, you read it for yourself. You know, you got to honor me. It's like, you don't stay married anytime when somebody got to honor somebody one-sided, okay? All right. So, Spend time alone with God. That's in the morning with your coffee, before your coffee, when you go outside. And that's when I collect myself in the morning. And, it, you know, it's hard. You know, before the sun rises, it's daylight between 5:30 and 6. I get up so I can get out. And I go and I spend time. And every time my mind goes, it's like, no, thank you, Lord, for the sound of the birds. I know how many times the crow makes noises. Four on this side and three over there for one answering. I watch that. I watch the spider spin. Watch a spider spin his web. Sitting in the corner with a wide web like this, and then that web starts to shake. Zoom. Bring them back. Have lunch. Spin. Sit there. Watch an ant. You know, when you think about nature and what you can see when you walk in the morning, watch what ants do. They don't have a boss. They don't have a mission, but they're always busy doing stuff. And when they run into a stick, they'll go and they push a little bit and they can't get, you know, some of us keep pushing. You ain't getting under there. We keep pushing. Ants don't do that. They go right here and they says, can't get there, go this way and come back up and come over. Watch them. But you watch that in the morning. I watch it in the morning. You know, in the afternoon, the asphalt's hot. So, well, you know, it's too hot. I can't walk. Well, it's raining. I can't get wet. Why not? Okay, I go out. I try my best every day to get out and go walk because my day is busy. I come across all sorts of people with all sorts of problems and issues and attitudes. Well, I can't get an attitude just because they get one. I got an attitude a couple of weeks ago and I got angry. I don't know what to do with anger because I never get that. Well, Satan says, I bet I can make you mad. It's like, I was so angry, I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what to do when I got angry. So when I was traveling this summer, I was in Israel. You remember y'all heard about when they closed the airport in Tel Aviv? I was in Tel Aviv, okay? So during that trip, and I kept trying to think, why did I do that, okay? I was in Jordan, and we went to Mount Masada. Now when you get home, if you play around the computer, look up Masada, M-A-S-A-D-A, and Snake Path. I walked down Mount Masada on Snake Path. And I kept thinking, you know, the lady said, well, you can take the tram up. Some people walk down. I thought, okay, well, I can walk down. I walk every day. I don't see why I couldn't be able to do that. So I walked down a little path, and I thought, maybe I should take the shuttle. Maybe I should take the little thing down. I thought, no, I said I would. So I walked down a little path, and I thought, Maybe I should take that shuttle. And all kinds of things went into my mind. The fear factor. You know, it's like, well, what about, well, what? And she said, it was about 20 minutes. Well, it was 45 minutes and scary. It was the scariest thing I've ever done. And I thought, no, why did I do that? Why on earth did I decide? Why did I just get on the shuttle? You know, I could be down by now. And I thought, yeah, but I'm going to go. So about 10 minutes into the walk, my knees started to feel funny. My legs, I'm thinking, now, what if I really don't get off this mountain? Now, I didn't go by myself. It was a group behind me, a group in front. I'm in the middle because I'm focused on getting down the mountain. I said, now, if I could just get down there, and I thought, maybe if I just had this apple I got in my bag. Now, it was 100-plus degrees. It was out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and it was down this big mountain, right? And I thought, okay, now, some of the way had a rail you could hold on to, and some of it had steps down, and I thought, let me just eat this apple. Maybe I'll get some strength in my legs. You know, I thought maybe I needed some sugar or something. So I ate the apple and I thought, no, I'm not going to look over there because I'm afraid. And I never thought about being afraid of heights. I don't know. So I thought, now, I'm gonna keep going. I said, maybe I just need some water. So I drank some water and I kept going. And I thought, well, what if I were to fall off? And I thought, no, I'm still here. So, you know, I kept getting close to the rock so I wouldn't, you know. And then I went on down. And I thought, now there's a bench in the shade, you know, I thought, but if I stop, then it'll take me long to get down. So what I did was, I kept going, and I was so focused, you know, straight down, that I veered off to the right, off the path. So I was going up, and I thought, now where is the path? And the group behind me said, hey, where y'all going? The path is over here. And I thought, okay, so I turned and went on down. And when I got to the building, I just fell out on the steps. And I never could figure out why I would have made a decision like that to walk down that mountain. Because it was a scary, I mean, it was knee-knocking scary, okay? You know when your knees knocking, you know what's going to happen because you're so scared. I was scared to death. And I thought, well, Lord, you got me up on this mountain. I made the decision, and you won't get me down. So he did. And about 2 weeks later, I figured out why. You know, when you have really big challenges in your life, you need to put it in perspective. So I put it in perspective, and another big, huge challenge came up, and I thought, that's why. Because now you dealt with that, you can deal with this. And it was just as challenging, because it's like, now why did that happen? What? So I got through it. But it was only because I had that experience to contextualize that situation in so I could get through it. So when you have large challenges in your life, know that the Lord says, I got you through that one, didn't I? You're like, yeah, but Lord, you know this. I got you through that one. Okay? And there will always be, I know something big is coming because these were huge events in my life. Really huge. And I kept thinking, that's why. So when you're thinking about becoming that woman, that Proverbs 31 woman, make sure that you spend enough time alone with the Lord so that you know that He is there for you, with you, always. Because it's important for us to remember as Christians that that's why we're here. That's what we do. And that's all you do, because you have an opportunity to shine. And people say, well, you know, you had a right to be mad. I'm thinking, no, I really didn't. I really didn't. And you know, when you're angry, you might say some things. I was kind of careful, you know, about what I said, but I felt really angry about that. And it's like, it's not that big of a deal. You got some other big things that you need to do. And I'm always called on to do big things. It's like, yeah, well, I'll do it. Okay, whatever, you know. And I do, because God has given me a lot of gifts, a lot of blessings in my family, a lot of things that we can use to say, well, nothing but the Lord. And I know the Lord got me off that mountain, because I kept thinking, you know, about the movies where the big birds come and snatch you up. I was thinking all those things. Then I thought, well, what if I really can't get down? And then I thought, and how long would it take a helicopter to come get me if I got sick? What am I going to do? It's like, okay, now you need to get on down this mountain so you can get off and get out of the sun, you know. But I tell you, when you think about little things, and they're little things, I don't even think anybody has thought about going down that mountain that way but me. I really don't, because everybody's like, yeah, it was great, wasn't it? And I'm thinking, scared me to death. It really did. And I think I scared myself. You know, fear is simply false evidence appearing real. Nothing. You know, I was going to get down the mountain. Everybody else got down the mountain. Why can't I get down the mountain? So selectivity, you know, that this woman uses, the Proverbs 31 woman, she doesn't do everything everybody else does. Now, you notice where I sat? You know why I sat right there? Because there's a vent right there in the floor. Right there in my seat is a vent that blows cool air. So, you know, I was thinking about what I'd wear today. I'm conscious of what I wear because I represent folks, and, you know. Well, there was this long dress I like to wear. It's loose, doesn't touch anywhere. It's really cool. I was going to wear that. Being the conscious shopper that I am, I'm conscious where I shop and everything. So I have three laundries that I go to. So I took my dress I was going to wear today to the laundry. And the sign says $7.99 dresses, weekly special. Well, I go to take my dresses there, my pants over there for $10.99. Just the things, you know. So I said, how did it get to be this? She said, well, you know, I had a raincoat. I said, it is not a raincoat. Well, yes, ma'am. See, right? I said, it's a dress. She said, oh, no way, it's long. I said, it's a dress. So I'm thinking, if I got to argue with this woman about a dress, I'm thinking, I wear it as a dress. She said, well, I'll give you 10%. She said, don't go anywhere else. Don't get it. Because she saw my pants from another laundry and my other laundry from another laundry. She said, don't go anywhere else. I'll give you 10%. I said, okay, next time I come back, it's $7.99. Okay, she charged me $14 for that. And I thought, I said, that's a dress. She said, oh, no, ma'am, it's long. And you had a suit. I said, I had a white dress, a black dress, and a long dress. No, it's a suit. I'm thinking, how are you going to define my clothes? You know? So I thought, well, I read the notice, said orchid. I'm thinking, I think that's purple. So I said, I'm going to wear this, and I'm going to wear white. So I'm good to go. So I appreciate y'all listening to me in my rambling zone. But really, think about your relationship with God. That is the most important one that you can have, because it makes you the kind of woman that your husband will want. And if he doesn't, the Lord still loves you every day, and that's important for you to remember. So when you start thinking about that, remember you are beautifully and well made. All right? No matter who loves you or don't love you, the Lord loves you every day. And you know, when people don't like you, go, well, they didn't like that today. Your emotions go like that. The Lord loves you every day, and if other people do, that's fine. If they don't, it's fine. Okay? So thank you so much for your attention and patience.